Love Talk Radio.
Scrambling until the last second to get this show ready. I know I've said this before, but if you were to start the show like a minute early, I would be fucked. I'm like connecting wires and whatnot, trying to put everything in order, fiddling with the fucking computer, just everything. But I do have a great show for you. So, needless to say, a lot on the election. Hillary Clinton's allies have gone to the media, and they know who to blame for her low poll numbers. And spoiler alert, it's not her. So I'm going to start with that. And then I got a lot of other great stuff, too, including just the world's most epic flip-flop from Donald Trump. He's unbelievable, man. His whole fucking campaign, was based on, I don't take money from nobody. Understand me? Well, we already have known for a while that that was not true, as I've laid out for you in detail, based on various articles from Politico, Washington Post, so on and so forth. But now, now it's not only that he's taking money, but the people he's taking money from are, like, specific people he said I would never take money from. It is ridiculous. Okay. And then obviously got much more Hillary stuff, Bernie stuff, and we have the top party officials are scared in both parties as to what's happened this election. So what are they going to try to do? Even more the next time around. They're fucking shameless, man. And honestly, the even worse offender is the Republican Party, because the Democratic Party already has their own, like, really, really riggy move they could go to if, you know, break glass in case of emergency, where, like, you know, Bernie or somebody who's really populist were to win, like, oh, would you look at that? All the superdelegates disagree. So that you have the Republicans are like, how can we rig this more? So we'll talk about that and much more. Let's go ahead and get started here. And we're going to start with Hillary Clinton and her allies and her surrogates and the new argument that they're making. It's an argument which is quite sad, if I don't say so myself. Hillary Clinton allies have gone to the media, and they have somebody to blame for her shitty poll numbers. And spoiler alert, it isn't her. They say, naturally, Bernie Sanders. Bernie is to blame for everything wrong that ever happened, ever. They say, quote, the long primary fight with the independent senator from Vermont, which looks like it could go all the way to the Democratic convention in Philadelphia, has taken a toll on Clinton's standing in the polls. In the latest Real Clear Politics average, she is 0.2 of a point behind Trump, the presumptive GOP presidential nominee. The surrogates say they're concerned that Sanders, this late in the game, throwing shots at Clinton and the Democratic establishment. All right, let me pause here. How sad is that, that they have to bring that up as if to be like, my goodness, it turns out that the other candidate is campaigning and trying to win. Why? I cannot believe that. I'm so outraged. What the fuck do you want him to do? Just lay down. Lay down and hold up a RIP sign. You win, Hillary. Now roll over me with a steamroller. No, the guy's fucking running against her. Of course he's going to stay in. Of course he's going to make arguments. Like, how can you possibly be mad at that? How can you be angry at that? And furthermore, it shows you that they really value party unity above all else. So the idea that the Democratic Party, oh, they're so much better than the Republicans, and they care about all these policy specifics and these substantive wonky things. Well, no, because when somebody comes along and he makes those arguments, they go, "What are you doing? Fall in line. Party unity, party unity." So party unity at the expense of the actual progressive values and principles. That's exactly what you're saying here, whether or not you realize it. All right, now I have some literal quotes. They say, "I don't think he realizes the damage he's doing at this point," one ally said of Sanders. Quote, "I understand running the campaign until the end, fine, but at least take the steps to begin bringing everybody together." Wait, 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 wait. You guys are the ones who come out every day and say, "Ah, Hillary's winning, Hillary's winning, Hillary's winning." Why the fuck would it be on Bernie Sanders to bring everybody together? Bernie Sanders is trying to get in the lead and trying to win. Hillary Clinton, who you guys have said is already the presumptive nominee, now all of a sudden, oh, our precious little flower. She can't be relied upon to do anything. Her job is to unify the party, but she's supposed to spit in the Bernie supporters' eyes, and then Bernie's supposed to turn around and go, "I know she just spit in your eye, but please fall in line anyway." God, they have everything backwards. They just pin everything they don't like on Bernie Sanders, and there's no criticism of Hillary Clinton whatsoever. Well, I mean, we should expect this. This is Hillary Clinton's surrogates and allies. I have more. Quote, "It holds her back from controlling the narrative," another Clinton ally said of Sanders' continued presence in the race. Okay, now, hold on, guys. They always tell us that Bernie shouldn't be the nominee because he can't withstand attacks. God forbid in a general election the Republicans would attack him. Oh, would they? I didn't know. That's how elections work? But that's the argument they make. Oh, my God, he's going to be attacked. You can't go for this guy. He's going to be attacked. But now you're telling us that Hillary can't take attacks right now. Never mind the general. You're saying Hillary can't withstand them right now. So Bernie needs to www.shutthefuckup.com. Do you not understand that you are admitting that you are guilty of one of your main criticisms against Bernie? If your main argument against him was he can't be the nominee, he can't take criticism. Well, then you're saying right now, stop criticizing! No more criticism! So you're the ones that can't take criticism. Guys, here's the dirty little secret. Hillary Clinton is a bad candidate. You want to know why she's up as of right now in this primary process? Because she had gargantuan name recognition among the Democratic base. She was Secretary of State. She was the former First Lady. She was a senator from New York. That name, Clinton, in Democratic politics is huge. You know, people hear that and think Democratic politics in the same way you hear Kennedy and think Democratic politics. It's such a big name in Democratic politics. So she started with this absolutely ridiculous head start on Bernie Sanders. I mean, when we had our first primary or our first debate, it's a 100-yard dash, and Hillary's already 85 yards through the race. And she turns around to Bernie and goes, "Okay, you can start running now." And what does Bernie do? He damn near catches up. So, but then they turn around and they act like because Hillary Clinton, you know, has what, 53%, 54% of the delegates at this time? Or Bernie's gotten 46% of the delegates, I should say. That's the number that I know to be true. I don't know exactly what Hillary has. But they look at that and they go, "Oh, look at this guy. Such a weak candidate. Only has 46% of the delegates." Dude, he started with nothing compared to you. He's this obscure senator from Vermont who like eight people knew. I knew of him because I would listen to Tom Hartman's radio show every once in a while, and he used to have Bernie Sanders on, I think it was every Friday. So I knew of him because I follow this stuff for a living, and you know, I policy substance is my life. So of course I know who Bernie Sanders is. Most people did not know who the fuck he was. But then he starts talking, and the more he talks, people like him more and more and more. The more Hillary talks, the more people like her less and less and less. And she barely hangs on and edges out. And then they turn around and start lecturing about, "Oh, look at this guy, such a bad candidate. Look, oh my God, he couldn't even beat me." Nobody knew who the fuck he was. He was 60 points back like a year ago. So, again, she's a bad candidate. The more people hear her, the more people see her, the more they're around her, the more they don't like her. Now, Bernie, on the other hand, it's the exact opposite. The more people are around him and hear him and see him, the more they like him. if campaign process and the whole system and the way it's set up, if you gave Bernie an extra 6 months to a year, he would have won. He would have won. But because of, the limitations of the way the system works, and honestly the order of the primary season as well, with the South going first, because of those variables and the fact that nobody knew him beforehand, yeah, he didn't end up edging her out. But the bottom line is, if you think it's some sort of a cakewalk for Hillary in the general, boy, do you have another thing coming. And another hilarious fact is, so yesterday we had a primary in Washington State, and it doesn't count. There's no delegates, but you had a primary there. Bernie already won the caucus with like over 70%. But Hillary won the primary. Every Hillary supporter on the planet is out there today like, we told you, Well, wait, no delegates were awarded. People knew no delegates were awarded. So I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't waste my time. Now, apparently everybody writes it in. I still wouldn't waste my time. If I know no delegates are awarded, I'm not going to, let me take some time to fucking mail a piece of paper in that says who I support when everybody already knows who I supported because I went to the goddamn caucus. But they're using that to say, oh, my God, Hillary's such a better candidate. She's such a better candidate. Such a better candidate. Hold on now. So if no delegates are awarded and it's just people saying who they prefer, that's basically a poll. Yeah, I guess that's a poll, Kyle. Okay, so then what you're saying is polls matter, right? Well, yeah, I guess in this case we're saying polls matter. Then why the fuck are all of you dismissing the fact that Bernie Sanders is up over Donald Trump by 15 points in a general election and Hillary is losing to him by 2 points? Well, that's because polls don't matter this far out. Wait, which is it? Which fucking is it? Which is it? Do polls matter? Do polls not matter? Well, if Hillary's up in the poll, it matters. If Bernie's up in the poll, it doesn't matter. This is the kind of twisted fucking logic people are using now in order to say, Hillary's better candidate, except the second she shows weakness in the polls, as she's been showing against Donald Trump now progressively for months, what do? They don't say it's because she's a bad candidate, it's because, hey, perhaps the Bernie supporters were right. They turn around and they blame Bernie. When Bernie attacks her over things that are true, the logical, rational response to that is not to turn to Bernie and say, hey, censor the truth. Hey, bite your tongue. Don't say anything that's accurate about Hillary Clinton. No, you should be mad at Hillary Clinton for actually doing those things which she is being criticized for. Goldman Sachs speeches, among many, many other things. Iraq war vote, Patriot Act vote, so on and so forth. So if you're angry, perhaps your anger's misplaced, because it ain't the fault of Bernie supporters who've been warning you all along, and it ain't Bernie Sanders' fault who's been doing what he's supposed to do in an election process and a primary process. It's your candidate's fault. It's Hillary's fault for being a weak candidate. So go ahead, risk the country and risk a Donald Trump presidency because you're with her and she doesn't do very well against him. Okay. All right, let's move on to what's going on here with Donald Trump and some epic hypocrisy that he caught himself in. So a few months ago, in the heat of the GOP primary, Donald Trump was giving a speech at one of his rallies, and he absolutely lit into Jeb Bush. He said that Jeb wouldn't take on Big Pharma because he wouldn't negotiate for better drug prices for Medicare because he's bought by people who are in that industry, the leaders of that industry. So NBC reports on this. Trump predicted Jeb Bush would avoid taking on the issue as president because Woody Johnson, whose family founded Johnson & Johnson, served as his campaign chairman. He said, I have no friends as far as I'm concerned. But you know who my friends are? You're my friends. He was saying this to the crowd. By contrast, Trump said his private fortune would enable him to say no to wealthy interests after the election. He's complained recently that he doesn't get enough credit for self-financing. Trump does accept campaign donations, but he and Bernie Sanders are the only two major candidates turning down Super PAC support. Quote, I don't need your money, I need your vote. All right, so all of that is fascinating because today we learned this, quote, Donald Trump on Monday met privately with Woody Johnson, a top GOP fundraiser who previously supported former presidential candidate Jeb Bush. On Tuesday, Trump's campaign announced that Johnson would serve as a vice chair for the Trump Victory Fund, a joint fundraising committee set up by the campaign and the Republican National Committee. Donors to the apparatus may contribute far larger amounts than in previous elections, up to $450,000 apiece. Hypocrisy isn't a strong enough word. You need a word that somehow is more powerful and above hypocrisy, like hypocrisy on steroids and human growth hormone. Dude, not only did he go back on the idea of I'm not taking money, and by the way, he wanted to take money from the beginning, as we've documented for you before, great political article that said he went begging to the same billionaires, but not only did he flip-flop on that, he's going to the same big money donor that he specifically ripped Jeb Bush for. So he's saying, well, obviously this guy's not going to do anything on negotiating Medicare drug prices. He's not going to do that because the guy who's the fucking head of Johnson & Johnson is in charge of fundraising for him. It's the exact same thing now with Donald Trump. The same guy, same position. So go ahead, come out and give a speech against yourself there, Mr. Straight Shooter, Mr. Tell It Like It Is. Look at these guys, they're bought, they're puppets, taking money for law, the fucking head CEO of Johnson & Johnson. He's not going to negotiate for Medicare prices. Look at this guy. He's bought. These are his friends. Of course he's not going to negotiate for it. What are you, crazy? He's not going to fight for you. I don't need any money. I'm here for you guys, the people. I'm here for your vote. Oh, nobody's looking? Same donor guy. Here, the exact same position for my campaign. Now, how did he wiggle out of this when somebody brought it up to him? No, but the thing is that it's a joint fundraising thing. That's what it is. We do it. It's not just for me. It's for the RNC. It's for the Republicans. So, therefore, I wash my hands of it. It doesn't count, even though it's called the Trump Victory Fund. It doesn't include Trump. What the fuck? So, you know what he's using, right? That's the Hillary Clinton dodge. The person who he calls Crooked Hillary day in, day out. For raising money. And by the way, she is fucking crooked. I'm the first one to say it. Of course she's crooked. He's doing the exact same thing and using the exact same dodge. Because what does Hillary say when Bernie brings this up against her? Well, no, see, Bernie, the way it works is what I'm doing is I'm raising money for down-ballot Democrats, and you're not. Henceforth, I'm better because I'm the better Democrat. Wait, what? So her argument is, not only am I bought, I am facilitating and allowing other Democrats to be bought by Wall Street, therefore I care about down ballot Democrats, and I'm better than you. If that were true, it wouldn't even be a positive. I don't want Democrats being bought by Wall Street. But number two, it's not even true. The way the system works, all that money is basically goes into Trump's victory fund, runs through the RNC, and they give it right back to Donald Trump for the general election. That's how it works. Same thing with Hillary Clinton. Oh, I am raising money for all the down ballot Democrats. Oh, thank you for giving me money. Let me now give it to the DNC. And the DNC does a little tricky move with it and hands it right back to me, and boom, now I have more money for the general election. He is a typical insider politician. He's just better at lying than the rest of them. That's Donald Trump. So, look, I'll grant you, because I've said it before, Donald Trump is fantastic with his rhetoric on corruption. He, in the middle of Republican debates, he would go, you're a puppet, you're a puppet, you're a puppet, you're all bought. That's what the problem is. See, I'm self-funding my campaign. The second he got a whiff of people who are Republican donors who are willing to say, okay, now you're our only option. I guess we can give you money now. He's like, yeah, come on. Give me money. He's just a liar, guys. He's just a liar. And like I already alluded to, we cover the story at the time. Donald Trump literally went to all the same Republican mega donors, the billionaires, who fund all the other candidates, fucking Newt Gingrich the last time around, Jeb Bush this time around, Scott Walker at one point. Trump went to them at the beginning of the primary, and he's like, I would like to raise some money from you. And they all said no. So because they didn't like him, then he turned around and went, money in politics, oh my God, this is such a problem. Oh my God, what's happening here? You're all puppets. Dude, he's only saying that because he got snubbed by them. How fucking naive do you have to be? I mean, this is classic, and this is Trump 101 too. Can you imagine Trump asks some woman, "Hey, would you like to go out on a date with me? We'll go to dinner, have some champagne and whatnot, maybe some sex." All right, he probably wouldn't say that last part. Maybe he would. Who knows? He's Donald Trump. She says no. What does he do? "Oh, I didn't even like anyway. She came up to me. She tried to come on to me. I said no. Oh, my God. This isn't somebody I would want to date. What, are you crazy?" That's so obviously Donald Trump. He did the same thing with money and politics. Don't buy in to his bullshit. Don't buy into his bullshit. So, look, the main argument that people were saying, hey, this is something that makes him intriguing, and this is something that makes him, you know, more like somebody who could really take on Hillary Clinton, because the one argument he could use is, I'm anti-establishment, I'm not taking big money. Well, now that argument, I mean, we already have known for a while that it was done, but now it's like it's in your face done. So if you're in the media, do your fucking job. Do your job. Every time he tries to pay lip service to this preposterous idea that he's somehow an outsider, he's a spoiled billionaire born with a silver spoon in his mouth. No, his dad didn't just give him $1 million. He got hundreds of millions of dollars when his father passed away. He was born on third base, and he thought he hit a triple. And he's not any of the things that he claims he is. So if you're good at your job, you will call out these facts, you will be specific about it, and you will let everybody know, hey, you're a sucker if you fall for his con man game, okay? He's a mediocre con man, and he's been able to get himself to this point because all the other pathetic Republicans suck that bad, and because the Republican establishment is that disconnected from the people that all you needed was somebody to come along and say, I'm not going to cut Social Security, I'm not going to cut Medicare, I want to rebuild our infrastructure. I want to keep your job here and not do outsourcing. He benefits from outsourcing personally. His ties are made in China. As he rips China all day long, he does business with them. He is an epic liar. So don't buy into it. And the media needs to call it out and make it clear. Yes, Hillary Clinton is corrupt as a motherfucker. Call that out too. Don't bite your tongue for a split second. But also understand that if you fell for Donald Trump's bullshit rhetoric on this, you are sadly misinformed. Isn't that amazing? The dude is in a top position, the vice chair for the Trump Victory Fund. So the same guy he was just ripping has, I can't believe Jeb Bush is having this guy on, you know, be responsible for raising money for him and taking money from him. He's doing the exact same thing now. God, what a scumbag he is, man. All right, let me take a break. When we come back, Trump was giving a campaign speech in New Mexico, and he made some interesting comments about Bernie supporters. We're going to discuss that. And Hillary Clinton has a new ad, Donald Trump, and I have mixed feelings on it. So it's about the housing crisis and how we hoped for it and yada, yada, yada. I want to get into that in quite a bit of detail. So stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
Now this is the mentality. Americans and what's left without a ride. Yet we look up through the stars and dream what it's like to live among elite. I see the future in a rut with the voice of the people in the mud. Yeah, it's a message with a big stand. The more you make, the more the gap expands. The more you give, the more the love you send. The more you take, the more we suffer, man. And he'll spend most of it on what he sees. Maybe the something he may never need. Now this is the mentality.
So, I mentioned this at the beginning of the week. I'll mention it again right now. There's no show on Friday, and there's no show on Monday. I have to go out of town for a bachelor party. But, fear not, we have a whole bunch of videos that'll release on YouTube when I'm gone. So, you won't miss me too much. Although, then again, you guys are live show listeners, so perhaps you will miss me because you prefer the live show. But, like I said, YouTube, check it out. Some stuff will upload while I'm gone. Like, it's almost like a normal week, if you will. Like, on stuff will upload on Saturday. Stuff will upload on that Monday. And then we should be back Tuesday. So, I'll miss you too. I'll miss you too, Pumpkin. All right. Let's move along here to a fascinating claim made by Donald Trump, and we'll investigate it. Okay. So Donald Trump was giving a campaign speech in New Mexico, and he made some interesting comments about Bernie supporters. He said, "I'm hearing we're going to get close to 40% of his supporters. We're going to get them because he's not going to win. The system is rigged against Bernie, so he can't win. A lot of Bernie Sanders people have said they're voting for Trump. We're going to get tremendous numbers from Bernie Sanders." I love how when you read like a quote of him on paper, you hear what he's like in person as you're reading it on paper. As soon as you see the word tremendous, you're like, oh, that is so Trump. Now, there's a lot to say about this. He thinks 40% of Bernie supporters are going to go to him. But first, let's go to the facts. So according to the exit polls from the West Virginia Democratic primary, quote, nearly half of the voters who backed Bernie Sanders say they would vote for Republican Donald Trump in the presidential election. God damn! 44% of Sanders supporters surveyed said they would rather back the presumptive GOP nominee in November, with only 23% saying they'd support Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. All right, so if you look just at West Virginia, Trump is right, because he's saying, hey, 40% are going to vote for me. Well, in West Virginia, it's actually 44%. So, you know, overall, and I'm going to get to it here, he's not right, but there's a grain of truth in what he's saying if you look at West Virginia as a microcosm, which, of course, it isn't. But if you were to do that, well, then he's not freakishly off base. So let me give you more facts. According to the most recent YouGov poll, 61% of Sanders voters have an unfavorable view of Clinton, against just 38% with a favorable one. Damn! YouGov has been tracking these numbers for several months, and they've gradually gotten worse for Clinton. Okay, pause here. Directly related to the type of campaign that she's run against Bernie. We're not stupid. Bernie supporters are not stupid. And we know when you're going below the belt, and we know when you're using dirty politics, and you've been using dirty politics, which is why over time, it's not like everybody who's a Bernie supporter from the beginning was like, oh yeah, fuck Hillary. No, when you started saying stuff like using the fact that he's a Democratic socialist against him and comparing him, as she did in one of the debates, to dictators in Latin America, and, you know, saying, oh, I guess you agree with Castro and stuff like that. And saying in one of the debates, when he says he's anti-establishment and you're pro-establishment, when you said, I'm a woman, I would be the first woman president, so how can I be establishment? When you start using arguments like that, people are going to start to not like you, because that's such a hacky point. That's such a giant sidestep of the point he's making, and it's just smearing him. When you can't win on policy, you go to say stuff like, for example, we can't afford what he wants to do. Well, you're running to be the Democratic nominee, and you're arguing that we can't afford single-payer health care, which virtually every other modern nation has, and universal college. We can't afford that. We don't have the money. But then Hillary Clinton is the same person who voted for the war in Iraq, which by 2053, when you include the interest, it will cost $7 trillion. So you voted for a $7 trillion war, and then you turn around and say, I can't let you get an education, and I can't have universal health care. Well, then we don't like you. We don't like you if you do that, because that is absolutely preposterous. So that's why now 61% of Bernie supporters are like, hey, fuck you. And then also when you dig in, the more stuff you know about Hillary, the more a normal person wouldn't like her. Oh, you pretend like you're for the people half the time, but then we notice you got $675,000 from Goldman Sachs to give speeches. You've raised millions of dollars just to give speeches to giant corporations. You used to be for single payer. Then you took money from the health insurance industry. Now all of a sudden, look at that. You're not for single payer anymore. You used to be against a bankruptcy bill that rigged the rules in favor of corporations. Then when you ran for senator and you took money from the industry, all of a sudden, boom, now you support the bankruptcy bill that biases bankruptcies in favor of big corporations. And the list goes on and on. We don't like that you voted for the Patriot Act. We don't like a million and one of your votes. You literally stood on the floor of the Senate and argued that flag burning should be illegal and punished by up to a year in jail. You don't even believe in the First Amendment. So, yeah, the more we learn about you, the more we're like, oh, my God. It took her until 2013 to come around on gay marriage. 2013, she... 53% of people support it. Not budging yet. 55%? Okay, maybe now. Oh, I love gay people. What are you talking about? Meanwhile, we've all seen the clips of her like, hey, should gay marriage be legal? No. I'm not for gay marriage. I'm for some sort of contractual unions, and she obviously evolved. No, if you can't figure that one out by 2012, I don't trust your judgment. So, yeah, the more you learn about her, the more you go, gross. Now, they continue here. In the YouGov poll, just 55% of Sanders supporters said they'd vote for Clinton over Trump in November. However, only 15% said they'd vote for Trump. That leaves 30% of Sanders who say they are undecided and would vote for a third-party candidate or would sit out the election. All right, so overall, so in the whole country, when I gave you the numbers before, that was just West Virginia. And like I said, West Virginia is not really a microcosm of the United States for various reasons. But when you do a broader poll for the United States, the number's not 40%, which is inflated and a little preposterous. It's 15%. Here's my response to that. Time to panic. Because 15, that's not normal. Like, it's not normal that, oh, so you're a supporter of a Democratic candidate, and if that Democratic candidate doesn't get the nomination, well, then 15% of you are going to go to the Republican. That's not a thing. Like, that doesn't happen in other elections. That's not where, like, people don't go, yeah, you know, I preferred whoever, John Edwards, but if John Edwards doesn't get it, obviously I'm going to back Rick Santorum. People be like, no, that's not, they're so radically different that doesn't happen. But Trump, because of how he's run his campaign and because of his anti-establishment rhetoric, again, we've proven over and over he's not actually anti-establishment, but because of that good rhetoric, well, then you have Bernie supporters who are like, well, this guy's actually more anti-establishment than she is, so I might go for him. He said he's going to protect Social Security and Medicare. He said he's going to not outsource jobs. So he does this pro-union rhetoric. He claims to look out for, you know, middle-class voters. Well, that former Republican candidates, they don't do that. They don't even bother to pay lip service. They're just like, yeah, I blow the rich. That's what I do. Trump at least pretends like he's for the people. And Hillary's run such a bad campaign that people are like, I think he might be more for the middle class than she is. Again, I don't necessarily think that's true. I don't think either one of them cares about the middle class. But it's resonating to the point where 15% of Bernie supporters are like, yeah, I go for Trump. And then, by the way, that can give or take probably 5 percentage points or maybe even more. So it could be up to 20% of Bernie supporters who end up going for Trump. And let me be crystal clear about this. Who do I blame most for that? Hillary Clinton. People are going to try to blame Bernie Sanders, but that would be ridiculous. You blame Hillary for not getting the votes of big-time left-leaning independents because she doesn't represent them, and her record has been disastrous, and she hasn't run a good campaign, and she's poised to run an even worse campaign. So, if you're Hillary Clinton's campaign, what they should care about is, oh, my God, how do we get that 15% of Bernie supporters who are going to go for Trump to go for me, and how do we convince the 30% who are undecided? That should be your only focus throughout the entire general election. What they're going to do is the opposite of that. They're going to run to the right because that's the way the model works. Run to the right, and then you'll get in moderates. But, okay, that's not going to work. You're supposed to theoretically run to the right to gain independence. But the independents are with Bernie. So you should run to the left to get the independents. I know logic is hard. So she should focus on that. She's not going to. But if she were to try to get those voters, which, again, should be priority number one, well, you have to, for example, do everything Bernie wants. Now, I know this will make the Hillary supporters go crazy. Oh, he didn't win. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm just saying, if you want to win the general election, you would listen to my advice here. You would, but you're not going to because you're pompous and you're arrogant, and then you'll end up losing, which is fine. You have to give Bernie what he wants in the sense that, so the DNC's caved already a little bit in the sense that they've said he gets to pick 5 people for the Democratic platform. Well, that's more than historically what the candidate who didn't win got. So, you know, that's positive. So there's one thing. Honestly, you should give him cabinet picks. He should be on the VP committee to pick who your VP is. You need a super progressive VP. You need him getting his message into the platform. You need him getting his economic message and even foreign policy message into your cabinet by helping with cabinet picks. You need to make a good faith effort to let progressives know, like, no, it's not just like, hey, I'm paying lip service or whatever to progressive values. No, I'm actually going to try to incorporate these into my administration, and I'm not going to be business as usual pro-establishment Hillary. And if you don't make a good faith effort to show that you care about Bernie and his message and liberalism and progressivism, which is what he represents, the heart of the Democratic base, well, then you're not going to get this 15% of voters that say they're going to vote for Trump, and you're certainly not going to pick up the 30% that say, I don't know, man, I'm on the fence. I'm probably going to vote for Jill Stein or write in Bernie or just sit out. Well, it's almost like they're waiting for you to prove to them that you're better than Trump. So it would you would have to cave to Bernie on a million things and then also run an effective campaign against Trump. Now, a lot of people might disagree with this who are Bernie supporters, and they think, come on, it does, even if she runs a good campaign, it wouldn't matter, in the sense that they don't think more Bernie supporters would go to Hillary. But I disagree with that. I think that if she were to highlight the areas where she's just unquestionably better, where there is no counter-argument, well, I think that she would pick up more Bernie Sanders supporters. I mean, not all of them, obviously. Maybe not even most of them. But she would pick up more of them. So, for example, if she came out there and said, look, I know a lot of you guys don't like me, okay? And perhaps my record deserves that to a certain extent. But I'm here to tell you I'm unquestionably a better candidate than Donald Trump. And, for example, on social policy, who do you like more? Do you agree with the fascists or do you agree with me? Yeah, I took a long time to come around on gay marriage. I was wrong. But guess what? I'm right now. Yeah, I took a long time. You could go through a list of social issues. Hey, on immigration, I'm not going to deport 11 million people. He is. Hillary's had a bad record on that, too, by the way, and had, you know, horrible rhetoric at times. One time she said she wants to build a barrier on the, you know, on the southern border. Well, that would kind of be a wall, which would make you kind of agree with Trump. But you can still go out there and highlight the areas where you're clearly better. Hey, I'm not going to ban all Muslims from entering the country. So I'm a sane person. On this issue, he's an insane person. Go down the list. Hey, the Supreme Court. My Supreme Court pick on the worst day would be better than Donald Trump's on his best day. Trump released a list of the people he wants to pick. They're all massive, insane right-wingers. So this idea, this fantasy of him getting in there and like, woo, look at that, all of a sudden he picked a liberal, not going to happen. So she could say that, and that's an argument that's actually true. She can come out and say, hey, I actually believe in climate change, and I will fight to change it, and in the sense that I'm going to fight for policy to push us in the right direction. Trump is on the record as saying he thinks it's a hoax invented by the Chinese. So if you believe in science, I am the candidate who believes more in science. Hey, this guy says he's going to bring back torture. That's going to increase terrorism. That's going to create more jihadists. It's going to make us less safe. Now, yeah, I have a horrible record on foreign policy. I would say this if I was her. My record is too hawkish. I agree. Guess what? We may still have some disagreements, but here's what I promise you. I'm not going to torture. I'm not going to torture. I'm not going to violate international law in that sense. Not going to happen. If you make these arguments, they're going to resonate more. You're going to pick up some Bernie supporters because you are saying, honestly, the message can be, you might think I'm evil, but I'm certainly the lesser of two evils. He says he wants to kill civilians in the Middle East. I promise you, I will never, ever, 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 ever actively attempt to kill civilians. I mean, we all know it's Hillary, so she might accidentally, whoops, look at that, I killed some civilians. But there's no doubt that there's a difference between them in how they think. And then I always think the most important argument is, do you really trust that guy with nukes? I'm sorry, man, as much as I despise Hillary, and I do despise her, with a burning passion, I think Trump is a crazy person. I think he's super impulsive, and I think he has such thin skin that I do not trust that guy with an army, the biggest army, most powerful army ever created in human history. I don't trust him with that. I really don't. I don't trust him with the ability to press the red button. I really, really don't. You might try to talk your way out of this one or try to convince me otherwise. Sorry, it's not going to happen. I know who Donald Trump is. I know who Hillary Clinton is. I know I despise them both. But I know that it's varying degrees of despising them. So is Donald Trump really going to pick up 40% of Bernie supporters? No. Is he going to pick up 15%? Very, very likely. That's what the numbers show right now. Is it possible he even gets as high as 20%? You bet your ass. And if that happens, it ain't going to be the fault of Bernie Sanders, who's been hammering Hillary Clinton with facts all along. Bernie beats Trump in every poll. It's not going to be his fault. It will be the fault of Hillary Clinton for being such a poor candidate that she can't even convince otherwise rational people that she's preferable to Donald Trump. And that says a lot about Hillary Clinton and nobody else. Okay. All right, let's go to Hillary's new ad and my mixed feelings on it. Hillary Clinton has a new ad against Donald Trump and how he was hoping for the housing crisis. Let's watch.
Don't an economy that can't find the bottom of bad news.
10 years of saving completely gone, vanished.
The biggest crash of household wealth that we've ever had in the United States.
I sort of hope that happens, because then people like me would go in and buy. If there is a bubble burst, as they call it, you know, you can make a lot of money.
All right, now as far as hitting Donald Trump, it's not a bad ad. It's not the ad I would have made. I would have gone much harder, and I would have went after different things. But, you know, swinging. They are swinging. So, strategy-wise, okay. I can't get over the hypocrisy, though. Dude, you're Hillary Clinton. You're Hillary Clinton. You raised $675,000 from Goldman Sachs. You gave speeches to them. You got that money. Goldman Sachs, the whole scandal with them is that they profited massively off of the crash. And you gave a speech to them where you're calling them victims. Oh, you're so misunderstood. You're so oppressed. People blaming the bankers and the financial institutions, they don't know what they're talking about. You guys are experts. You guys are experts. So you're like, how outrageous. Somebody who wants to profit off of the housing crash. Yeah, those are your buddies. Those are your best friends at Goldman who paid you to pat them on the back and tell them they're awesome. I can't get over the hypocrisy. That is so massively hypocritical. Guys, what Goldman did, Goldman would toxic subprime mortgage packages, okay? And they'd sell them to their unsuspecting clients. And they'd say, oh, you're going to make a lot of money. You're going to make a lot of money if you invest in this stuff, let me tell you. Then as they're doing that, they turn around and they do something that's called a short. They short those same packages. A short means you're betting on that package to fail. So as you're selling something, pretending it's awesome and people are going to make a lot of money, you're snickering and you're going behind their back and you're going, fail, this thing is going to tank, tank, tank. And then you just made money two ways. You made money selling the package up front, and then you made money betting on that same package that it's going to fail. That's like somebody selling you a car. They know the car is going to blow up. And they're like, hey, here. Here's a car that works really awesome. You are going to love it. They, oh, thank you. They buy the car, they're running out, and then you're placing bets that this thing is going to fucking blow. And then you made money from the bet, and then you made money from just selling the car too. Guys, we have a word for that. It's called fraud. That is fraud. And this is why Bernie Sanders has rightly said, dude, fraud is a business model on Wall Street. That's the whole point. And people, oh my God, Hillary acts, I'm so shocked you would say that. These people wear suits and ties, and they're white, so they can't do anything wrong. No, and Bernie's also right when he says, Congress doesn't regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress. And Hillary Clinton is great evidence of this, that Wall Street regulates the entire government. She's taken $675,000 to give them speeches. You don't think she's going to take the call from Lloyd Blankfein when she's in office? Of course she is. She absolutely is. So this is, it's all like crocodile tears. Oh, I can't believe Donald Trump would say that he wants to profit off the housing crash. All your friends profited off the housing crash. You are so immensely ridiculous. And then on top of that, this just hit me right now too. Dude, you supported NAFTA. Like, she's acting like, I can't believe the middle class is hurt. You supported one of the main things that hurt the middle class, all these outsourcing deals. What a joke this is. You lobbied for TPP 45 times, which is going to hurt the middle class even more. Like, don't get me wrong. Is Donald Trump a prick? Absolutely. Is Donald Trump, by the way, going to end up supporting all these right-wing policies too? You bet your sweet ass. Hear me now, quote me later. But Hillary supports it as well. So I find it hard to take these seriously when you're so open to attack yourself. And then furthermore, she supported Graham Leach Bliley, and her husband signed Graham Leach Bliley. That's the repeal of Glass-Steagall. The repeal of Glass-Steagall is one of the main things that many experts and economists point to, saying this is what led to the subprime mortgage crisis and the Great Recession. You have these businesses that are over-leveraged. You used to have a firewall of separation between investment banking and commercial banking. Now when you did Graham Leach Bliley, you removed that firewall. Now commercial banks and investment banks can be one and the same, so they can make super risky investments that were otherwise supposed to be safe investments. So they could do casino capitalism when you just put your money in the bank down the street. You don't know that, but when you put your money in there, they're doing crazy side bets on top of side bets and insane shit that's eventually going to blow up. So I can't take ads like this seriously because she's such a massive hypocrite. I mean, it is unbelievable hypocrisy. You are super closely tied to all of those firms that profited off of the crash, and now you're acting, feigning outrage that Trump said that he would profit off the crash. But again, this goes back to the main thing. Both of these candidates are horrific, and this is why they have super, super high unfavorables compared to any other candidates in history. Okay. All right, let me do one more here. Then we'll take our final break. We have yet another case of epic hypocrisy from Donald Trump. This may, in fact, be historic hypocrisy. So The Hill explains here, Donald Trump, who has called climate change, quote, bullshit, is trying to build a seawall at one of his golf courses in Ireland to protect it from climate change. In a permit application filed by Trump International Golf Links Ireland, global warming and its effects is cited as the reason why protection from erosion is needed at the course in County Clare. According to the report, the course suffered major damage in a storm just days before Trump purchased it, with parts of it suffering nearly 30 feet of erosion. Trump International Golf Links Ireland also submitted an environmental impact statement accompanying the application that cited a study predicting a steady rate of erosion, but argued that the study underestimated the effects of climate change. So not only is he like, hey, when it comes to business, not only do I believe in it, I think it's even underestimated. We also have hilarious quotes. I mean, look at all the things he said about climate change. My favorite one is this, quote, the concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make U.S. manufacturing non-competitive. Global warming is a Chinese hoax? What a massive moron. What a massive moron. All these scientists all around the world, they all got together. I mean, so we all agree, right? We want U.S. competition to fall behind. We want U.S. manufacturing to fall behind that of China. Agreed? Agreed. We got to come up with some sort of hoax in order to make this happen. Let's say the world is warming so the U.S. stops with certain kinds of manufacturing and China increases. There we have it. China takes over the world. We win. And I love how Trump always feigns anger at China. Meanwhile, he does so much business there. I mean, this guy fucking has his tide made there. There's a great segment of David Letterman talking to Trump, and he gets him started on China. Trump starts railing against China. And as he's talking, Letterman reaches under his desk. He pulls out a tie. He's like, is this one of your ties? He's like, oh, yep, that's one of my ties. He says, read what it says on the back to me. He goes, made in China. Oops. So this is classic Trump hypocrisy. You know, hey, business reasons. I got to protect my assets. Am I right? This is my golf course. So we need a seawall. And by the way, it wasn't clear in the article, but it might be the case that the reason why they're acknowledging it and the reason why they're pushing for it is not only that it's happening, but you might get some sort of government grant to help build the seawall. You might get some money from the government. So when it's for money reasons, oh, I'll say whatever the fuck you want me to say for money. You want me to say climate change is real? Climate change is real. What do you want me to do? So again, this idea of like Donald Trump as being above the fray and anti-establishment, he's going to be just like every other establishment politician. He's just honestly a better liar. That's why he's duped so many people into thinking, oh, he's going to fight for the little guy. No, he's not. He's just really good at lying. He gets out there and he'll say with a straight face, oh, they're all bought. They're all puppets. Bitch, you're bought too. We just covered the story. The same big money donor that he was ripping Jeb for having, now that guy's working for him. So don't believe anything Donald Trump says. Anything. And nobody even knows what his real beliefs are. And I wouldn't be surprised if he actually doesn't believe in climate change, but just the people who are in charge of his business in Ireland believe in it, and they're like, we got to do this regardless of what he thinks. Or if he says he doesn't believe in it, but he does believe in it, and he's like, okay, no, to protect my golf course, of course we're going to be serious here. I don't know which it is, but either way, he's a pathetic human being. take a break. When we come back, Bernie Sanders has not closed the door yet on Kentucky, which is interesting, We're going to talk about what he's doing there. And top officials in the Democratic and Republican Party are trying to further rig it because they really don't like what they've seen with the surge of Bernie Sanders and, honestly, on the Republican side, with Donald Trump. So stay right there for all that stuff and more. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we need to turn it up.
Got a bunch of stuff to get to, so I'm going to jump right into it here. Bernie Sanders has not closed the door yet on Kentucky. Reuters explains here, Bernie Sanders on Tuesday requested a recount in the close Kentucky presidential primary against frontrunner Hillary Clinton, state election officials said on Tuesday. The re-canvass will take place at all 120 county boards of election on Thursday, according to the Kentucky Secretary of State, Allison Grimes, who, by the way, is an ardent Hillary Clinton supporter. Clinton won Kentucky by just 1,924 votes, according to the unofficial totals posted on the Secretary of State's election page. Okay, so now, naturally, people on Hillary's team are going, why don't you just accept losing with grace, blah, 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 blah. No, he really should do this recount. And there's a very specific reason, in my opinion, why he should have this recount. Because I'm not sure whether it was with 95% of the vote reporting or 98% of the vote reporting, but he was up over 1,000 votes at that point. And then in the last, whatever it was, 1% or 5%, it flipped to her being up over 1,000 votes. Now, anybody who knows how these things work knows that that's not – that is highly, highly unlikely. In fact, when it was with 95 to 98% reporting, it was almost like, oh, okay, it's time to call it for Bernie because he was up by a significant enough amount where it was like, oh, it would be – highly statistically unlikely for her to come back and win now, and then she won. Now, I'm not saying it's foul play. All this stuff would need to be proven. There would need to be, you know, evidence presented. But there's one way to try to get a more solid answer, and that would be to do a recount. Now, who knows? Maybe when the recount's done, she ends up still winning, and that's the official result, and that's the end of it. But for the sake of, as Bernie goes on to say, by the way, for the sake of transparency, it does make sense to do the recount, and this is something that I certainly support, and I see no downside to it. And if, you know, Hillary people really care about getting the right answer and the proper answer, well, then all of you should support it as well, instead of trying to censor and shut it down and move along. And honestly, the response to this from the Hillary campaign has reminded me a lot of the response to Nevada. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, that's right, Nevada. Now, I was thinking the caucus, but I mean the convention, because at the subsequent convention, so Hillary won the actual caucus. Then at the subsequent conventions, which I know the system in Nevada is absurd, I would get rid of all of that and just make it a primary. But at the subsequent conventions, Bernie picked up delegates at the first one. And then at the second one, the Nevada Democratic Party just snubbed 58 of his delegates. They're like, okay, you don't count. They're like, what the fuck? They're like, paperwork, something, registration, go away. And they're like, okay, no. So all the Bernie supporters were loud, and they got angry, and they were screaming. Rightly so. I would scream, too, in that scenario. And what was all of the discussion about after the fact? Violent Bernie supporters! Violent, violent! They're like Trump supporters. They're so violent, violent, they were throwing chairs. Okay, that's not true. They weren't even throwing chairs. There's one video of a guy picking up a chair. Another Bernie supporter comes down, grabs a chair, puts it down, and hugs the person. There was no chair throwing! And they go, well, there was one thread of, you know, one of the officials in the Nevada Democratic Party. Okay, first of all, we all condemn threats. That's obvious. We're all against threats. We don't even know that it was a Bernie supporter, though. Have you heard of Correct the Record? Have you heard of the troll army they've unleashed online to try to make Bernie supporters look bad? The whole point, they're spending over $1 million to do that. The whole point is to make Bernie supporters look like they're fucking crazy, and let's correct the record. And anytime anybody says anything anti-Hillary, oh my God, lash out and attack them. So I don't even know if that was a Bernie supporter. So this idea of like, they're violent, they're violent. And this has been used to generalize and say they're all violent. Right. The people who support the most liberal one in the race, who's more anti-violence than anybody and anti-war, somehow they're particularly prone to violence. I know. So the entire conversation now has been shifted to Bernie supporters are violent, as opposed to saying, hey, wasn't the Democratic Nevada convention kind of fucked up and rigged? Now, I get it, guys. I already told you. I just said it. I just said it, that I wouldn't even do a caucus. I wouldn't do a caucus and then the following conventions or whatever. I would just do a straight primary, one person, one vote. So I get it. Hillary Clinton won Nevada. I'm not saying she didn't. But what I am saying is, in the conventions, they're supposed to be, oh, let's follow the rules and do all this stuff, and they're willing to stoop low enough to steal, to net two delegates, rig the process to net two delegates to bias it in favor of Hillary. And if you don't believe that, you are preposterously naive. That's why they snubbed 58 Bernie delegates over paperwork. So they went super low to try to just take two delegates. I get it. Hillary Clinton won overall. I'm saying that. She won in the caucus. And I would get rid of the caucus and do a primary. I agree with all of that. But it is true that at the convention, it was rigged in favor of Hillary, and they snubbed 58 Bernie delegates over nothing. Nothing. And now you're talking about how violent his supporters are. When they're not, there's zero evidence of that. So, and now we're getting the same kind of reaction from this, where it's like, if any tricky nonsense went on behind the scenes, it was in the Hillary campaign. But because Bernie people are like, hey, maybe a recount, the Hillary supporters, oh my God, below the belt, why are you guys so crazy? The fuck? And there, you got to understand, in most states, there are these provisions where if the race is within a certain number of votes, you can request a recount and get it. Like, if elections are close, you're supposed to be able to do a recount. So in no way is this weird or outside of the ordinary, but naturally people on Team Hillary are just losing their fucking shit and acting like this is the craziest thing ever. When anybody who followed this and was actually watching the live vote totals roll in, they know that this is one that deserves a recount because we saw what happened when Bernie was up a significant amount and then it changed like that, which is very highly unlikely in terms of probability. So we'll see what ends up happening. But all I know is that the Hillary camp is continuing to alienate the Bernie camp, which is particularly stupid because you would think that they would want to get them on their side for the general and not bark at them and try to pretend like they're violent and act like they're stupid, because they're not. So top officials in the Democratic and Republican Party are scared by what's happened so far this election, so they plan on rigging the process further. This is hilarious here. The New York Times explains, in a move that would sharply limit who can participate in presidential primaries, many party activists are pushing to close Republican contests to independent voters, arguing that open primaries in some states allow Donald Trump, whose conservative convictions they deeply mistrust, to become the presumptive nominee. All right, let me pause. That's hilarious. So Donald Trump, who they didn't want, the Republican establishment didn't want to win, won. So now what are they doing? We got to come up with some sort of way to make it so a guy like this doesn't win again. So in other words, call it what it is. You're trying to rig it. Just say it. Like, just say it. But they can't. Oh, well, what do you mean? We're going to make the process more responsive and blah, 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 blah. No, you're not. You're going to fucking rig it. So let's close our primaries. Ah, we see what Hillary did on the other side when she closed the primaries, and she wins more when it's closed, and you snub independents. So maybe we do the same, and we get our establishment candidate. Yippee-skippy. They even go as far as to say, maybe not that, but they want to reshuffle the order because they said the order benefited Donald Trump, and if we had a different order, perhaps it wouldn't. I don't know exactly what their reasoning or their logic is behind that, but they say, hey, maybe have Iowa not vote on a single day. By the way, Cruz won Iowa, not Trump. But they say, let's have Iowa vote with another state that day, and then, you know, New Hampshire vote with another state the next election. So they're trying to just come up with ways to try to rig it. It's hilarious because it's not like there's any reflection as to how shitty of a party they are. And like, hey, maybe our positions suck donkey nuts, so we should change that to try to get people to vote for the people we want. No, it's just like, how do we protect our own, protect the party, protect the establishment, protect the shitty candidates who nobody wants but we want, and push them on the country? That's the idea. And Trump showed, hey, you guys suck so bad that I'm, you know, a mediocre con man like myself can come in and blow up the whole system. And then also, I find it hilarious that the New York Times frames it like, well, the reason they don't like Donald Trump is because they question his conservative convictions. No, they don't like him because they weren't sure early on if he's controllable and if he can be bought. Now, it turns out, we've learned recently, he indeed can be bought. Not only did he go to the same billionaires at the beginning as all the other Republicans and begged for money, they just said no. But now we learn that he's got – even Jeb Bush donors have now come to him, and they're working for him to raise money, and he's taking big money now. So he went back on the idea of self-funding his campaign. Not true at all. We've detailed that for you. So they didn't know at the beginning, hey, can he be bought? So they didn't like him. Now that he can be bought, you're going to see more and more establishment candidates come around him because he's being bought and he's playing the game. So, but they frame it like as if it's this thing based on ideology in the New York Times. Like, oh, the conservatives are wondering if he's truly conservative. The establishment cares about those conservative convictions. They don't give a flying fuck about that. They could not care less about that. All they care about is, can this person be bought by our corporation? That's what they care about. Let me give you more. They say, given the dissatisfaction with the rules in both parties, officials say some combination of changes for 2020 is almost certain. But the parties must balance a conflicting set of priorities. The first is preserving that enthusiasm and interest that have driven record numbers of voters to participate in the primaries this year. The second is to be sure that the party's prerogatives to vet and ultimately pick their nominees are not rendered obsolete by a flood of newcomers with little partisan loyalty. Oh, that sentence is so telling. They're just admitting that they want to rig it. They're saying, well, you don't want all these newcomers, these rabble-rousers, who want to, like, have their voice heard and whatnot. You don't want them to really have their voice heard unless they show, quote, partisan loyalty. So we need to balance allowing people to vote, democracy, one man, one vote, crazy. You need to balance that with how can we rig it to get the people we like that are our party sellouts and are hacks and represent the corporations. Partisan loyalty. So we need more people to vote, but more people to vote for the people who they don't like. I despise the two parties in America. I told you guys before, I'm a registered Democrat only because in New York, where I live, you need to be a registered Democrat to vote in Democratic primaries. Those are the most important votes in the Democratic primaries. If I was allowed to vote in the Democratic primaries as an independent, I would leave the Democratic Party on day one, And see, the thing is, what's even more pathetic is that now it's more the Republicans talking about changing it, because the Republicans, they didn't have the break glass in case of emergency that the Democrats had. They, in other ways, they're less democratic. Like, for example, they have more winner-take-all states than the Democrats do. So in some ways, they're more undemocratic, but they want to have the same kind of thing that the Democrats have, how the Democrats have superdelegates. How all along, okay, proportionally, you know, give away the delegates, yada, yada. But then if somebody were to come along who's really populist, who we don't like and the corporations don't like, well, then we want to be able to override that person and put in our person. So, hey, that's why we have superdelegates who can override the will of the majority. So now the Republicans are like, can we get a little bit of that Democratic stuff over here? Like, we got to find our own way to rig this thing if need be. So what are they saying? More closed primaries. It's mixed, you know, when it comes to what are closed, what are open, so on and so forth. But they want more closed ones to try to rig it more because it's the independents who have come in and helped not only Donald Trump but Bernie Sanders too. So it's so sad how open it is with, like, the, I guess we kind of maybe want more people to vote, but not at the expense of picking our own corporate hacks who will represent the establishment. Okay. All right, let me give you more. Washington State and South Dakota are making a move at the state level to get money out of politics. It's a bipartisan coalition that's fighting for this, including the group Represent.Us, who we've spoken about before, and even some Tea Party factions are on board with this. So there are Republican groups, there are Democratic groups. Huffington Post explains here, the idea is to create a system of democracy vouchers, providing each registered voter with a certain number of $50 credits to use as campaign contributions to candidates who choose to participate in the publicly funded system. The democracy voucher method, which was adopted by Popular Ballot in Seattle in 2015, seems to appeal to conservatives as it puts the power to fund candidates in the hands of the individual voters and not through lump sum government payments to political campaigns. Okay, so what they're trying to do is do one version of clean elections. Clean elections typically means no privately funded elections, and what they're doing in this case is kind of a middle ground, where you say we're going to have taxpayer money, so government money, public funds, that's going to go to the people, and the people are going to choose who to allocate the money to in terms of the candidates they like better. So it's kind of a middle ground, because you have it's private in the sense that the people are choosing, but it's public in the sense that it's the public fund. So that's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it, as they laid out here, is the classic way of public funding, which is you have the different candidates, there's a process to determine who gets in, and then after you determine who gets in, you get matching funds. So everybody gets the same, and then it's a matter of it's a battle of ideas and not a battle of competing donors. So it's a battle of philosophies, not a battle of who's going to sell out to their corporations better. So obviously, if you take money from corporations and rich people, they're going to want something in return. That's just how it works. So you take money from them, and then the more you raise from them, the more you get your message out. But then it's also the case that the more corrupt candidate wins, and then they do more favors for their donors at the expense of the constituents. We're trying to change that. People are trying to change that. Now, I want to be crystal clear about this. I support any and all moves to get money out of politics. It's that important where even if I have minor issues or major issues with the way you're going about it, I'm still going to be in favor of it because this is too important to leave as it is right now. It's almost like the health care system in the United States pre-Obamacare. Like, I didn't like Obamacare. Obamacare was a shitty reform, but I ended up at the very end supporting it because that was our only option was Obamacare or nothing, and nothing was significantly worse. So it's like, okay, hold your nose and pick Obamacare because it's a step in the right direction. Anything is a step in the right direction. Same thing for this. So even if I have issues with the particular kind of public-funded system that you're trying to set up, I'm going to support it because it's obviously superior to our orgy of big money and corporate money that we have right now. And by the way, Democrats and Republicans agree on this. So we all agree money is corrupting politicians and we got to stop it. And I would just add as a final note here, while I support all these different things, nothing will replace the big whopper at the end here, which is we have to do a constitutional amendment to get money out of politics because what the Supreme Court has ruled in a number of cases, actually, a variety of cases, Citizens United, McCutcheon, Buckley v. Vallejo, so on and so forth, they've ruled that money effectively equals free speech. So if this is a constitutional right we're talking about, then there always is going to be money in the system unless and until we either change the interpretation that the Supreme Court has of the Constitution, which would require another case and then them to change their mind and go back on precedent, or we would have to go through the states, get a constitutional convention, get the one constitutional amendment we all agree on, which is money in politics, and then fix it that way. So actually do an amendment to the Constitution to make it so that it's clear money isn't speech and corporate personhood isn't a thing, and we mandate clean elections by law, by supreme law of the land, by the Constitution. So that's the real solution, because unless and until you do that, you're still going to have the federal court system saying that money in politics is a right. So technically, any laws you pass at the state level or the local level, it's null and void right up front because the Supreme Court already decided you can't really regulate that because it's like regulating speech, which is unconstitutional. So even though I support every conceivable way of fighting this problem, the main way to fight it and the only way that would really work in the long run is to change the Constitution and to make it crystal clear that money does not equal speech and that we're going to have clean elections and therefore battles of competing philosophies. And guess what? When you get that, the politicians are much more likely to represent the people because you're the ones paying them. It's no longer Goldman Sachs. It's no longer Citibank. It's no longer billionaires funding them, so they're much more likely to listen to us. Okay. The NRA released a new ad and is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
To the Ayatollahs of Iran and every terrorist you enable, listen up. You might have met our fresh-faced flower child president and his weak-kneed Ivy League friends, but you haven't met America. You haven't met the heartland, where the people will defend this nation with their bloody, calloused, bare hands. That's what it takes. You haven't met the steel workers, the hard rock miners, or the swamp folks in Cajun country who can wrestle a full-grown gator out of the water. You haven't met the farmers, the cowboys, the loggers, and the truck drivers. You don't know the mountain men who live off the land or the brave cops who fight the good fight in the urban war zones. No, you've never met America. And you ought to pray you never do. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
What the fuck was that? What was that? What was that? Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. They just release an ad, and they're not like, hey, guns, we love guns, yay. As you would expect from the NRA. They're like, to the Ayatollahs of Iran, let me done tell you something. I don't like the way y'all acting. You ain't never met America. You ever met a fucking truck driver? You know what they do, bitch? They drive trucks. That's what they do. That's why we call them a truck driver. Them some tough sons of bitches. Know what I'm saying? You ever met a logger? You know what loggers do? They log stuff. They be logging all day long and whatnot. And we like guns and we log, and we don't like you. You ain't never met us. You met our pansy little sissy boy president, Mr. Blackenstein, who looks weak and he's a skinny little boy. But you know what? We stronger than he is, so don't fuck with us. I know a truck driver named Steve. He don't fuck around. Why, like, what's the point of this, and why is it necessary to act like you're so tough? Like, I don't get why you're angry. What's the point? We're tough. I'm telling you, we're tough. Why are you saying this? Why? It's like overcompensation. I got a big dick. I promise. It's a really big dick. It's super big down to my knee. I'm telling you. You want to see it? I can't show you, but I'm just saying I got a big dick. Why? What are you doing? You know what struck me in that more than anything is the deep anti-intellectualism. Like, it's almost like they're proud. I got calluses on my hands, and I ain't never thought about nothing in my life, bitch. What? This is not something to be proud of. Why are you doing this? Okay, so Middle America, look, I love you guys. I got nothing against you in any way. But let's stop kidding ourselves that far-right people in Middle America aren't just overweight people who eat beef jerky, fart, and watch NASCAR. Just because you shoot a Ruger 22 at a couple cans every now and then doesn't mean you're ready to go fight and kill people overseas. And why would you even want to right now? What are you talking about? And it wasn't even like the most amazing thing is. It wasn't even like ISIS, we're coming after you. It wasn't even ISIS. The Ayatollahs of Iran. Now, okay, obviously I don't like the Ayatollahs of Iran. Nobody should like the Ayatollahs of Iran. They're ultra-conservative freaks and theocrats, and they do have an authoritarian grasp on the country. No doubt about any of that stuff. But why them over anybody else? Like, okay, shitty authoritarian theocracy. Could have picked Saudi Arabia, could have picked any. Like I said, could have picked ISIS. And when they say, the Ayatollahs of Iran and every terrorist you enable. Okay, the chance that this guy and the majority of people in the NRA even know that Iran and Shias specifically, so Shia militias, are currently fighting ISIS. 0%. None of them have any idea that Shia militias are fighting ISIS. That Iran and ISIS are the biggest possible enemies. They could not hate each other more. Does he know this? Does anybody in the NRA know this? No way. No way. You tell them that Iran and ISIS are enemies? Like, what are you talking about? But they're Muslim. They're the Muslims. Yeah, but, okay, one's Sunni, one's Shia. You know, there's not only theological differences, but obviously cultural differences between Persians and Arabs. And you go through, but they're Muslim. Do you get that they're Muslim? I don't get it. What was the point of this? Why would you do this? Let's make a video here at the NRA. We're going to threaten the Ayatollahs of Iran. And what we're going to do is we're going to tell them how tough we are by talking about loggers and miners and whatnot and let them know that we're ready to go to war. But why? It's almost like they want conflict. Like, just everything is fucking chest puffing out. I'm real macho, let me tell you. How can anybody support these people? Like, even if you like guns, it's fine, whatever. But this is the group of people that you want to be involved with? Like, people were just puffing out their chest and acting like, we're really tough, let me tell you, I'm ready to fight in Iran. How about that? No, you're not. No, you're not, Cletus. Let's calm down here. Take a seat. Okay. Let me give you more. Reuters is reporting that federal prosecutors will seek the death penalty against Dylan Roof. For those of you who don't remember, he killed 9 black parishioners in the middle of a Bible study. He's also a terrorist. He wrote a manifesto explaining why he did what he did. He was a believer in Rhodesia, which is the former white racist state in South Africa. He's a neo-Confederate. He spoke at length about how he believes whites are superior and blacks are inferior, and he went on and on about blacks commit so much crime and we got to stop them. They're raping our people. I'm going to murder like a bunch of them. how ironic and stupid. They're such bad criminals that I will now commit the worst of all possible crimes to prove how bad criminals they are. I think you just proved the opposite, tough guy. I think you just proved the opposite. So Attorney General Loretta Lynch said the nature of the alleged crime and the resulting harm compelled this decision to do the death penalty. Now, my reaction to this is the exact same reaction that I had for Zarnev, who, of course, did the Boston bombing. Dude, I'm against the death penalty as a matter of principle. So, like, the systemic death penalty, we can't have it. And we can't have it because we get the wrong people. And when you kill the wrong people, you are murdering people. So we have a state system set up to sometimes murder people. 4% of the people on death row are innocent. That was according to a recent study. So that's my reason for wanting to get rid of the death penalty, because we get the wrong people, and we don't live in a perfect world where we have perfect information. But that being said, I'm not one of the people who is going to come out here and be like, oh, I'm so upset that now Dylann Roof is going to be put to death. I'm so angry at this. Why, I oughta? Let me shake my fist at you to show you how serious I am. This is so bad that we're killing Dylann Roof. That's just not, and maybe I'm a bad liberal, maybe I'm a bad progressive, I know a lot of people in the audience disagree with me, whatever. But I have the same feeling that I had when it was Zarnev, which is, I'm against the death penalty. I would get rid of the death penalty like that. We kill the wrong people. It's not okay. But do I feel bad that this motherfucker is getting killed? Fuck no. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck them for what they did. I don't know if it's vengeance. I don't know if it's revenge. You can call it whatever the fuck you want to call it. I'm not going to be out there protesting for him not to die, even though I would sign away the death penalty on day one. You could say that's hypocrisy. You could say that's confusion. You could say that's a million and one things. And you may be right. You may be right. But I know, logically, rationally, using my brain, I know we can't have the death penalty because we kill the wrong people, and this is not what civilized people do. But I will not shed a single tear. I will not stop and think for a second that we should go out there and defend Dylann Roof. And by the way, I don't think liberals should fall into this trap either. I don't think, like, people, it's okay. I think it's okay to have this take on it, to say, I would get rid of the death penalty, but let's be serious. Fuck this guy, and I have no problem with him dying. I don't think there's something there. I don't think there's a real conflict there. Again, some people might say there is. I don't think there is. So I actually think that when liberals come out, if they say something like, no, we shouldn't kill Dylann Roof, and you're super forceful about him specifically, like if you were about Zarnev, I think you look silly when you do that. I do. I do. And there are some liberals who've already taken the bait. You guys know how much I love Bernie Sanders, but Bernie Sanders, I saw an article earlier today, he said specifically about Dylann Roof, let's not kill Dylann Roof. No, I would be more abstract and philosophical about it. I would get rid of the death penalty because we get the wrong people, but do I feel bad that we're killing Dylann Roof or that we killed Zarnev? No. No, I don't feel bad at all. Okay. I'm out of time, guys. I'm going to do one more here, and it'll be up later in the week, but you guys won't hear it live. So much love. Mwah. Kisses, smooches. We'll see you guys later. Peace.